The AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on ABC the Civic News, Media
app. I'm Rena Roy. If you're feeling the heat, you're not alone. Millions of Americans sweltering through a late September heat wave stretching from the Southwest to New England. ABC's Rob Marciano has more.
The last 3 months globally, the hottest on record. So we're coming off a supremely hot summer, especially for much of the U.S. But here in the Northeast, really, this is the first really bad heat wave. It's a bit of a shock to the system. It's coming in September, creating even more problems with the kids back in school.
Some schools are modifying class times. Torrential rain in central Greece is being blamed for at least 4 deaths. Some residents climbed to rooftops to avoid flooding. It's day 3 of the Texas Senate impeachment trial for Attorney General Ken Paxton. He's been suspended since May, when the House voted to impeach him on 16 articles, including bribery and abuse of office. Jobless claims fell to the lowest level in 7 months. This is ABC News. With the resurgence of COVID cases, experts say don't be so quick to throw out expired COVID tests.
Expiration dates on at-home COVID tests are determined by the manufacturer. In the beginning, it was not fully known how long they would be effective, so those dates were set conservatively. But now it's been found that many tests are still effective for a while after the printed expiration date. The FDA is now advising people to go to their webpage on at-home tests, where you can check your test's lot number printed on the package to match it with a possible extended expiration date. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The push is on to rescue an American explorer stranded in a large cave in Turkey. Mark Dickey has been stuck over 3,000 feet below the ground since the weekend and is suffering from internal bleeding. If you drive a Tesla, you'll have more places to charge up. The electric car maker has announced an agreement with Hilton to install about 20,000 EV chargers at Hilton locations across North America. Rena Roy, ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. According to a Fox 6 report, Wisconsin mental hospitals are being pushed to their limits after an explosion in court-ordered competency treatment. The report indicated that competency evaluations are up by 59% since 2016, and TTC orders have increased 150%. However, the available bed space for forensic psychiatric patients has only increased by 23% over that time, meaning the system is significantly over capacity. Madison police have identified and arrested a suspect for the violent assault that left a University of Wisconsin-Madison student critically injured. 26-year-old Brandon Thompson was arrested and is being held at Dane County Jail. Authorities say they were able to identify Thompson with the help of security video and witness statements. Police initially described the woman's injuries as life-threatening, but said this week that she is expected to survive and the attack appeared to be random. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org. Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org. The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I
can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The full list of all those restaurants and food purveyors at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Good to be with you today, Matt and Brett. Yeah, that's him.
You forgot my forgot who I was for a while.
I actually did that with Rick Hansen. My daughter was there. And it's like, is this Representative Rick? Okay, why? Why am I not remember that? Hansen, that's it. Yeah, it's because it's such a strange and unique name in Minnesota. Brett is producing for us. Coming up a little bit later on, Becky Rahm is going to join us from Save the Boundary Waters. They've got some good news as they have thrown out that twin medals story. And by the way, can I tell you one thing I'm happy with? After years of us begging the news media to finally call it what it is, Antofagasta, the Chilean mining company, because that's what it is. It's Antofagasta. It's not, hey, Mabel, let's start an old mine over here. It's not a mom and pop shop. It's Antofagasta. It's one of the largest mining conglomerates in the planet. They finally start saying that. So, yay, go team, go. All right, I got to ask you, first of all, a question here before we get into this story. Can I say the word poop?
Well, I think we can.
Yeah, can we?
We already let the cat out of the bag just a second ago.
Oopsies. Starting off today, it's always a pleasure when I get to start off with the poop report. Oh, God. First of all, I have to start off with this plane because what happened here? Footage has emerged of the onboard medical emergency that forced U.S. airliner back to Atlanta for only 2 hours into its flight into Spain as a trail of diarrhea was left by one struggling passenger. What in the world? Maintenance crew spent 5 hours cleaning the Delta Airlines Airbus. Not enough. Nope, not enough. Nope, not even close. Not even close. Have you seen the pictures of this?
That's 5 hours.
Not even close. I can tell you right now, get in there and steam clean it again. Just get zero res out there. You're going to need zero res. All right. They had to replace the aisle carpeting. Passengers reported, including one, that the one suffered diarrhea, were allowed to reboard after an 8-hour delay. Okay, so this is kind of weird. I can't quite figure out. Accounts of someone on board described the flight crew doing their best to clean up the mess. Basically, they weren't able to do it too well. Another described cabin crew placed a paper runner over the aisle. Basically, it didn't help. They ended up having to turn around. They basically went back and got off the plane in Atlanta. An audio recording of the conversation between the pilot and air traffic controller reviewed the reason for the jet's turnaround. It's just a biohazard issue. The pilot, we have a passenger who had basically diarrhea all the way through the plane. Then they wanted to come back to Atlanta. Delta Airlines blamed the onboard medical issue. Our teams are worked quickly and safely to possibly get our customers in their final destination. We sincerely apologize for this. I don't blame necessarily Delta here. I'm actually, got to tell you the truth, I'm very concerned about this person. Because this is not, unless this was just some bruh who just took a bet. It's like, I bet you can't do this. And then it ends up, you know, quite literally blowing up all over the plane. I can't even comprehend the level of illness that you would have to have for what happened on this plane. I'm like, seriously, we need to rehydrate you. I mean, it was that bad. As a parent, Brett, every one of us has one poop story. Was Charlie. He was a little kid. I'm sure he's going to be happy I shared that.
I hope he's not listening.
Nah, he's fine. But he was a little kid, right? We went to get his his ears tested when he was just, you know, he was like about 8 months old. So I'm in this room. Now I go in, it's a pediatric audiology clinic. So there's, you know, like pictures of like turtles and the alphabet and blocks and stuff. There's one little round table in the middle and that's it. And basically, there is, you know, these individual sound booths. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. And you know, we go through the audio test, and all of a sudden I notice, well, I think he just had a little accident here. Can I use this table out here in the main area? Can I change him here? Because she goes, there's no changing. They haven't put the changing stations into the bathrooms there. So I said, just go ahead. And I said, oh, thank you. I don't know what my son ate. I mean, presuming it was an old country buffet stop that I did not pay attention to. But it was voluminous, to say the least. And I looked into my diaper bag. One wipe. No! I am looking around. I am looking at, holy, it looks like a Delta flight to Barcelona. I mean, that's what, I mean, it's, I, oh my God. I, by the way, survived, got through that too.
I'm just picturing one of your favorite movies, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where he gets out of the shower with the one little, little square top.
I was a master wiper that day. Oh, I could have become, the Olympics could have hired, if there's a competition for that, I would have been hired. So, yeah, I actually, though, I mean, what my son went through, and by the way, if you have kids, you know exactly, we all have one story. What this describes and what I saw here, I mean, I can't even comprehend what this is. I mean, I'm like really concerned. I'm shocked they let this guy get on the plane. You know, hey, I've eaten Arby's too, but, you know, sorry. Arby's doesn't deserve that. Arby's doesn't deserve. Why am I being like that? It's just not right.
Like Taco Bell would
Taco
maybe
Bell,
cause
Taco
that
Bell,
issue.
Yeah, there, Taco Bell.
You're going to do that on a plane.
Yeah, six pack and a pound, I see. No, sorry. We always have to have dignity here when we have the poop report. Speaking of which, let's get a little closer to us than Barcelona or Atlanta. Classes at the West Metro High School have been canceled Wednesday due to a sewage backup. Officials say classes will resume on Thursday today. Armstrong High School in Plymouth posted a message about the cancellation on its website. The primary concern at the time is possible contamination from sewage, as well as a very bad smell in some parts of the building, said Principal Eric Norby. Needless to say, it's a huge disappointment that that couldn't have happened at a worse time. The school said buildings B and C are affected, including the kitchen and the dish room. Yum, who wants school lunch? It's free. After school activities will go on as rescheduled in Building A. In an update this afternoon, the school representative told WCCO television that the officials believe the backup was caused in part by vape pens. How many vape pens are being flushed at Armstrong High School to where vape pens are part of the problem? Well, there's your problem right there. It's a vape pen blockage. Seriously, how many vape pens? How many vape pens are being flushed at Armstrong High School? Dear Lord. First of all, I don't need to explain, I guess, the physics of water management that, you know, solid objects. Well, never mind. You just started school. You just started school. How do you have this many vape pens down the can? You guys aren't flushing vape pens here. Is this something new? Is this something the kids are into?
Oh, I could see that like on TikTok as the vape pen toilet challenge.
I don't know. Well, they
How
do that
many can you
one chip challenge, you know. It's, yeah. No, by the way, the one chip challenge might actually explain both of these stories. Think about it for a second. Okay. First of all, I think we can honestly say Armstrong High School has a serious vaping problem. If those are the ones in the toilet. Dear Lord. All right. Good luck with all that. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I want to call out the news media once again. It is somewhat shocking to me, or not shocking, I guess, is there is just an insane amount of bias in the media right now. I'll give you the consummate example of this. Joe Biden's age. Oh, my God. Joe Biden's age. 80. He's 80. Oh, my God. He can't. Why are we even thinking of putting him in the White House? Why not that young, spry 77-year-old who's on the other side? When was the last time you heard any news story reference, you know, Johnny KFC over there at 77? By the way, think about that for a second. Talk about disasters on planes going to Barcelona. That man is 77 years old, and he still primarily eats fast food. Think about that. Oh, no. This flight's not going as I anticipated. This is why I have all those documents in the bathroom. You never know. Now we know the truth. We know the truth. The boxes of documents, that was just in case he ran out of toilet paper. You got to be prepared there.
Well, he can't sell any state secrets anymore.
Well, meanwhile, in the sewer system of Mar-a-Lago, I think we found something, comrade. We have to get this cleaned up, but this looks like something about foreign troop movements. We can use this. What was the last time anyone talked about Donald Trump's age? He's 77, and he still is pounding down the quarter pounders. He doesn't look... I know your fan fiction images of him have him ripped like, you know, it's Conan the Barbarian, but no, he's not. He's looking his age.
As a matter of fact, 6'2 and 215. What concerns do we have?
I thought he was 6'8 and 190. Looking like isn't he starting for the Kansas City Chiefs tonight? I mean, I'm looking forward to that game. Oh, didn't realize you can fill out police documents on your own. Anyway, the reality is that Joe Biden is a little bit older than Donald Trump, but not by much. And from everything I've seen, Joe Biden's a heck of a lot more physically fit than Donald Trump is. But yet the news media fails us consistently. The reason I'm bringing this up is Raising One Brow, who posts stuff up on Twitter and puts out some good stuff there. He made this post. This is from Huffington Post Politics. A new poll suggests most Americans think Joe Biden got involved in his son's business deals with Ukraine and Chinese nationals. Wow. Now, and by the way, Raising One Brow's quote on this one is, narrator, without evidence. Yeah, there's no evidence of any of this happening. Now, I could point out, where's the coverage of Donald Trump? Because Donald Trump, I don't need to try to unmask some mysterious connections between China and Trump. His daughter got copyrights in trademarks in China, which is next to impossible for American citizens to get. And nobody batted an eye. Not a single person batted an eye when she got those. And no one wants to look at those. That's not some mysterious connection and laundering money through organizations and businesses. No, that's just, hey, you want some cash? Here you go. That's China. So we could point out the fact that the news media has failed. If this is a story, if you think this is a story, then it's the case. But I want to point this out on how this shows you how the failure of our news media, because I got a doozy for you coming up next hour. A freaking doozy of one. There used to be a time you would have asked this question because the question is dishonest. How many of you think the sky is purple? Why would you even ask that question? The sky's not purple. The sky's blue. That's the color of the sky. You going out and asking a question where you already know the question is flawed. The news journalism in this country is basically no better than a freaking Twitter poll at this point. That's all it is. Can you imagine what the news media, if today existed back at World War II, the Germans could be influencing the living daylights out of the media. You know, the U.S. government says that the Germans killed the Jews, but did they really, or was it Roosevelt? That's what they'd be like. And it, as you say to me, oh, my God, that's ludicrous. This is ludicrous. For God's sakes, we had just had a year of Republicans talking about we got the smoking gun. And every time they say they got the smoking gun, they've got nothing. Even they have said they don't have any evidence. And instead of reporting that, there is no evidence to this, or at least asking the question, even though there is no evidence of any connection between Joe Biden. No. Do you think Joe Biden was behind China and Ukraine? What are you doing? I mean, the People's Choice Awards have more credibility than this crap at this point. Adam Sandler again, you say? Just... And nothing against Adam Sandler. A few of his movies actually are really, really good. So that give Adam Sandler, I mean, really good, actually. One, I just watched that one where he's the diamond dealer. So very, very entertaining. But, no, this is a problem because it shouldn't take, like in 2006, where bodies were floating through the streets of New Orleans, for the news media to say maybe the George W. Bush administration is not telling us the truth. It shouldn't take a court hearing of, you know, Saddam Hussein or, Osama bin Laden determined to strike in the United States, having a briefing titled that, for realizing maybe they're not telling us the truth. It shouldn't take the Capitol being stormed by angry idiots before you realize, well, maybe we shouldn't have fanned the flames of this. You guys are part of the problem because you're not even doing due diligence and asking legitimate questions. You're just asking, you're at best being dishonest to try to keep this election as close as possible so you get as much campaign spending for your economic side. Or at worst, you're just taking questions from the freaking Republican Party and asking them as news. It's one of the two. And needless to say, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Because this crap is getting old real fast. Occasionally, after time, they finally figure out, well, maybe we shouldn't be referring to it as the local company, but maybe the large international mining conglomerate. Yeah, maybe you should. But sometimes, how do you even ask that question? How does a polling agency ask that question if you're not looking for a skewed answer? That's just disturbing. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Just dishonesty. It is. And this is the beginning of it. Because until they're burning the Capitol down, that's when the news media will say, wait a second here. Maybe we should be a little more critical. Do you think? Because I can tell you right now, the journalists of the past would go in there and kick your asses. In the news media, every one of you would kick your asses because you're not doing your job. You think you're spotlight, or you think you're all the president's men. You're basically classified art, classified section, order takers. That's all you guys are. You're not doing your job. And if I can see it, well, I know that you'll use that as an argument. It's like, we're doing my job. The liberal guy thought we were doing a bad job. No. You're doing a bad job because you're doing a bad freaking job. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break, come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hey, it's Tom. Going solar is a great way to save on energy costs. By using the sun to power your house, you can feel good about an investment that will last for years. All Energy Solar is a locally trusted turnkey solar installer that's been around since 2009. They provide custom designs and quality installations of solar panel systems that work for your energy needs. One of the best parts about going solar is it's an investment that can pay for itself. Your system can pay back 100% of the installation cost in as little as 8 years. Plus, a system from All Energy Solar can pay back over 300% of its cost over its lifetime. There's also many tax incentives and rebates available, and the experts at All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process to make sure you're saving as much as possible. So go green, both financially and environmentally, with All Energy Solar. Get a free, no-obligation assessment from All Energy Solar by calling 800-620-3370 or visiting allenergysolar.com.
I love my Toyota vehicles, so when it's time for me to get my service done, there's only one place I go, Rudy Luther Toyota. They know Toyota's inside and out. It starts with them checking your alignment and tire treads with their Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service. Oil changes, tires, batteries, wipers, no matter what you need done, they can help you with reliable Toyota parts and the best service team in Minnesota. Check out their website, RudyLutherToyota.com, for service and parts specials just for Toyota vehicles. Get your Toyota serviced at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Get ready to unlock the secrets of home maintenance as we dive into questions like, can I put furniture on top of my floor vents? And should I tarp my AC for the winter? This is Katie Shahan, host of the Yarlo Home Cringe Show, where we talk about home maintenance and create a trust economy of professionals near you. Don't forget to listen to our entertaining stories about some cringeworthy moments when it comes to homes. The Yarlo Home Cringe Show premieres September 10th at 2 p.m. and listen on your favorite podcast app.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Should mention, Peter Navarro has been found guilty of contempt of Congress for not showing up when he was subpoenaed, although he still claims that he's an innocent thing. No, you got to show up. And he didn't, and that was the case. If I can, there are still a few good journalists out there. Scott McFarlane over at CBS News. The dude gets the January 6th docket at the courthouse in D.C. Most other journalists get this and just threw it away. McFarlane has done an exceptional job. He has been on top of this all, and he keeps giving us the best updates on this because it's just enjoyable. Now, once again, he was the big day there because Navarro, they closed. He didn't even present any witnesses in his defense. He basically just, you know, was quiet there and was in 4 hours. 4 hours. Didn't take exactly. That's with lunch. That's getting some subs. You're getting some subs, then you'll debate. So 2 hours. Also today, the sentencing of Ken Schultz happened. I'll get to him in a second. But the one that I want to really talk about is Zach Allam. Now, we all know who Zach Allam is. You might not know his name directly. Do you remember the clown that was punching through the window in the at the U.S. House chambers that when they shot that traitor in the hallway that was trying to climb through the window? There was one guy there that kept punching the window there. That's Zachy. And Zachy is, he's in a little bit of trouble, to say the least. Let me go to Schultz here. Ken Schultz is being sentenced. Schultz was among the group of mob that pursued the Capitol officer Eugene Goodman. By the way, one of the bravest people you'll ever see. He was the guy that basically lured these guys away from the senators as they were evacuating. He didn't get the biggest sentence. He got, a month in confinement, but he can still get released to go work at the library remotely for a month, and then he's on 18 months of probation. So it's not like, I don't think he attacked anyone per se, and he didn't do that. In the argument there, but he also, he also basically was guilty of being there, and thank God that officer was there to drag him away from the other people because he might have ended up being guilty of a lot more. One of the lighter sentences, but still, he's one of those guys. When you see that when Goodman was facing down with that crowd, he was one of those guys. Courtroom 14, defendant Zach Allam's trial just began. Capitol Police witnesses poised to enter and testify. Allam allegedly sought to smash windows of House Speaker lobby near Ashley Babbitt. That traitor. That's going on now. So I'm presuming that's going to be a quick one because you got a lot of video footage of him smashing the window. This is not exactly a mystery on this trial. He has been, by the way, he has been wildly belligerent. During his entire case. It will be interesting to see where things go there in regards to that. There was one more that was today as well. Sean McHugh. Sean McHugh is one of the guys that you see outside spraying bear spray at the cops. He was the bear spray works at 40 meters. He was at like 10 meters and he was hitting the cops right in the face with the bear spray. 40 meters, 30 feet. He was 10 feet. Excuse me. My correction. McHugh in an orange jumpsuit at the defense tables questioning how the $7,300 raid for him by the arrest of McHugh was used. McHugh said his family traveled to court, emergency expenses, Christmas gifts for the kids. The judge then basically fines him $5,000 on top of that. So that's part of that money. The defendant was at the very center of the riot and the mob action. Judge Bates talks about the magnitude of the harm caused. McHugh on January 6th about McHugh's bear spray use. Judge said McHugh could have instead just walked away instead of pressing ahead amid the mob. Just as prosecutors has, Judge mentions McHugh was part of the breach of police lines. Judge, he was a verbal leader of the confrontation. He brought a megaphone to presumably help that effort. He then utilized the megaphone to urge rioters on and to abuse police. Judge Bates about the bear spray used by McHugh. It's hazardous to use on humans. It's capable of causing irreversible eye damage. He took pride then in what he did. He bragged about it on social media. But once again, as he's in the courtroom now, he's blubbering. I'm so sorry. Yeah, you were a big talk before. And that, once again, it's not like you were big talk the day. For months after this, all you guys were talking big about how you sent a message. And now all of a sudden, it's coming back to haunt you. McHugh is going to jail for 78 months, which is what, 6 years and a little, 6.5 years? 6.5 years? He used an exceptionally dangerous weapon against police in the Capitol siege, so he's going to jail. So good news. You've got the one guy that was following the officer that was leading him away. He's been sentenced. He basically is being held like in a halfway house for a month and then 18 months of probation. McHugh, basically, for using bear spray, 6.5 years. The psychopath that was breaking the window in the house, and he is nuts. He's an anti-American traitor zealot for sure. He could face up to 40 years because you got him dead to rights breaking the windows in the Capitol. Yet him, and then, of course, Navarro, because this is all part of it, too. He refused to testify. He has been found in contempt of Congress on 2 counts. His sentencing will come, but he's a guilty man. He's also an anti-American jackass. 952-946-6205. When we do return, Becky Rahm's going to join us from Save the Boundary Waters. She is, I imagine we're going to be having a good time because of the court ruling from yesterday. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Outfront Minnesota is the state's largest LGBTQ+ advocacy organization, and they're celebrating our state's accomplishments protecting our LGBTQ+ neighbors. This is especially important as surrounding states are passing legislation targeting our trans community. But here in Minnesota, we made it clear, you belong here. Minnesota's LGBTQ+ rights have taken a significant step forward with the conversion therapy ban and the Trans Refuge Bill, helping reshape the national discourse. The trailblazers who once championed same-sex marriage a decade ago continue propelling Minnesota towards an even brighter future. To celebrate these accomplishments, Outfront Minnesota is hosting their annual gala where we bring in together more than 700 guests at Allianz Field on Thursday, September 14th. The event celebrates a year of legislative wins while honoring diverse communities propelling Minnesota forward into next year. Again, that's Thursday, September 14th at Allianz Field with a dinner at 6 and party at 8. So come celebrate Minnesota's progress on LGBTQ+ rights and order your tickets at outfront.org.
You know how it is with vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, then you throw them away, right? Well, not necessarily. Often, fixing your vacuum can be cheaper than replacing it. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum in Roseville? They offer free estimates. So if you wish your vacuum worked like new again, drop by. A1 Vacuum is ready to help clean up your vacuum cleaner act. Find us at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call because we don't like to see anyone in pain. And we'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Chambaud Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambaudFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies today with a high near 69. Tonight clear with a low around 51. And Friday sunny with a high near 77. Eat Local Minnesota is a great way to find locally owned Minnesota restaurants and food purveyors. They feature high-quality food and unique eating experiences for your next meal. Some of those restaurants and food purveyors include the Park Tavern and Vinaigrette. Find a full list of all those restaurants and food purveyors at eatlocalminnesota.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. It is my pleasure to welcome back to the show Becky Rahm with Save the Boundary Waters. She is kind enough to join us today on what is a big day. Yesterday, in case you missed the story, U.S. District Judge Christopher Cooper basically threw out the lawsuit by the Twin Metals Minnesota, and as we should actually call them, Antofagasta, the large international mining conglomerate out of Chile, threw out their lawsuit, basically writing that the court lacks jurisdiction over two of the Twin Metals claims, and the remaining two failed to state any claims. So there is nothing to claim there. Needless to say, it got thrown out. This is looking like it might be the end of this farce, but still at the same time, it is good news for sure. Becky, thank you very much. I really appreciate the time.
Matt, thank you for inviting me on. I'm happy to talk to you.
Okay, first of all, talk about this. This was a lawsuit. This is basically, it was a Hail Mary anyway. I mean, when it was described, Twin Metals, when the federal government under Joe Biden basically said, no, we're not going to allow these mines to go forward, and as a matter of fact, put a moratorium, I think, of 20 years on this area, that we can't even consider this, that they were trying to find some way. Their argument was, well, we've already put this money in, so we need to actually go ahead with this mine. It was a weak argument in the first place, correct?
I think so. I felt all along that we had an excellent case to get this lawsuit thrown out. But I want to just say one thing, Matt. This was a big victory yesterday, no question about that, because Twin Metals was trying to get federal mining leases in the watershed of the Boundary Waters. It was trying to push forward with new mining leases in addition to the two that were canceled, and it was trying to get its mine plan moving forward. But all of that is now dead for now. Mm-hmm. But the real goal that we all seek is to permanently protect the watershed of the Boundary Waters. Yesterday was a step toward that, but we still have a lot of work to do to get Congress and the Minnesota legislature to pass legislation to permanently ban mining in this place.
You are up in Ely. You see the natural beauty. I was up in your lovely town earlier this year. I do enjoy Ely quite a bit, and went up into the Boundary Waters a little bit myself. There still is a lot to work to do, because one of the things that's been really interesting I've noticed today, just in some of the responses I've had to posting this story, is people coming out saying, well, this is dishonest. It's not in the Boundary Waters. It's next to the Boundary Waters. And the first thing I keep saying to myself is, okay, do you guys not understand water, air, and earth and how all this stuff works? It's remarkable that the amount of people that feel like you can, you know, I guess, you know, burn everything right up to the border and nothing's going to cross over into it. And it's ludicrous. And it shows us we still have a lot of education we have to do here, even in Minnesota.
Yes, I think what's confusing for some people is that the water flows north here.
Yes.
The watershed of the Boundary Waters flows to Hudson Bay. This proposed mine was just outside the Boundary Waters, in the headwaters of the Boundary Waters, along rivers and streams that would have flowed directly into the Boundary Waters, heading north. And it's there's no question but that the science and our experience with hard rock minings around the United States have shown us that all of these mines degrade water quality.
Yes.
And there was no magic solution that was being provided by Twin Metals. But you're absolutely right. It's watershed science. Water flows downhill. In this case, that downhill is north, directly into the Boundary Waters. And one of the deposits was immediately adjacent to the wilderness. So it's very close to the wilderness.
And can I ask a question here about mining? I know you've been researching this more. The concern I would have is with any mine putting themselves, even if you were outside the Boundary Waters, you know, kind of the idea of, well, you can go down, but could you go towards the boundary waters? I understand that they say, oh, well, no, we got some restrictions on that. But, you know, that's kind of how mining is and oil gathering and stuff like that's always gone. It's not just what's right underneath where the well or the mine is. They generally have a tendency of going, you know, in a lot of different directions once they get underground.
Well, yes, groundwater also flows. And here the groundwater flows by fractures and fissures because there were giant glaciers on top of this hard gabbro rock that we have. And so the groundwater flows every which way. Mm-hmm. But the surface water, and oftentimes the groundwater then escapes to the surface. But Birch Lake, South Kuishui River, these gorgeous, beautiful water bodies just outside the wilderness, they flow into the wilderness. So if you pollute Birch Lake, if you pollute the South Kuishui River, that pollution will flow into the boundary waters. And what the Forest Service said was that once the boundary waters experiences water pollution, they will be unable to mitigate it or fix it because it's a wilderness. Mm-hmm. You can't put a water treatment facility on 1,200 lakes that have no roads to them. It's over. And so that's why it's so important to go outside of the wilderness boundaries and understand how ecosystems work and how water flows so you can make wise decisions about where you allow this kind of mining.
By the way, you say that, and I remember some of the early arguments you had from some of these stooges, I'll use the term stooges, that were trying to argue for, well, this is not a big deal. You can still fish. There's plenty of lakes nowhere near this that are going to be fine, even if there was a problem. Like, that was a good argument. And it's like, you know, it was like, oh, God, you know, when you're even your own argument is basically hoping that people are stupid to basically get your point across. It's not there. But this is as well, it should be mentioned in something you and I have we talked about before. This type of mining has never been done environmentally safe. So when any mine or any organization or any international mining conglomerate says, this time we're going to be sure, they're lying because it's never been done safe.
Right. And this is unusual because the proposed site for Twin Metals, it's not only immediately upstream of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area wilderness, but it's also upstream of Quetico Park, which is also a wilderness, and it's also upstream of Voyager National Park. And so you have three protected landscapes, really important areas for Minnesotans and Americans that are put at risk for what we understand to be an insignificant amount of copper, nickel, and related minerals, all of which, once reduced to a metal concentrate, according to Twin Metals, would be shipped to China for processing. Yep. So it's not even for the United States. Nope. It would go on the world market, sold from these processing facilities in Asia.
Well, and that's also part of the problem is, and I mentioned Antofagasta earlier, it's we have to stop thinking about this like it's the 1849 with the 49ers. This is not mom and pop organizations, you know, a guy that's just coming up here and, you know, with his pickaxe going into the ground. That just doesn't exist. Pretty much the we know who the big players are in international mining, Canadians, Europeans, Antofagasta, the Chinese. They generally do the same thing over and over again. They create a front company to try to make it look like a mom and pop organization that we're just trying to do this. We're trying to be good Minnesotans when the reality is it's all being controlled. I think there's just the type of mining here. Isn't it a fair assessment to say that there is no way a small town local operation could do something like this, considering the nature of what's required to do this? It has to be an international mining conglomerate, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So if it's proposed again, it just, you know, start looking about who's funding who at this point, because I guarantee it's probably not local.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely not local. And you're right about the tricks that these companies play. Twin Metals is a Minnesota limited liability company. It's wholly owned by Antofagasta. But at the end of the day, when you have a polluted mine site and polluted downstream waters and land, maybe a Superfund site, and Twin Metals goes bankrupt, its only asset will be a polluted mine site. Mm-hmm. Antofagasta's deep pockets are protected by the way they set up a shell entity that they claim is headquartered in Ely.
Well, and that is, and we should also go back. I remember under Tim Pawlenty, he was trying to get through, and I think he actually did. I'm not sure if they were able to change this, but the oopsie law, as I like to call it, where he basically said you can't hold a company responsible as long as they come out and say oopsie before, you know, it's found out, and that then that's on the taxpayers. And I remember ripping on him back then, saying, you know, that's a really bad standard. That's not something that's a really good thing, that you really are. You're creating just the, you know, we're going to pollute everything, just yell oopsie and then run out the state and then you're off the hook. You know, there's a lot of elements here that have no problem in destroying the boundary waters and then putting the bill for it to clean it up on the taxpayers of Minnesota.
Right. Mm. Right.
Yeah. And once again, Becky Rahm joining us. This is the National Chair for Save the Boundary Waters. Let's talk about the future. Right now, we of course, you know, Joe Biden has basically said, we've set us out, I believe it's 20 years where this can't be developed, and so that's good news. But, you know, that's generally, for the most part, it's only good as the next president is and the next party of the president and who's bankrolling that. We talk about these companies that are coming in here. You know, this is not over by any means, because now that they know that stuff is there, there's always going to be this pressure point, this desire, kind of similar to what you see up in Alaska with the natural areas up there where they're trying to get the oil out of the ground, that there's always going to be people out there trying to push to develop these areas into, you know, mines or wells or whatever the case may be. And so this fight is nowhere near over, correct?
Well, it will be over if we can get permanent protection through legislation from Congress for federal lands and permanent protection by legislation through the Minnesota legislature for state lands. Mm-hmm. That's our goal. But you're right. Until then, the boundary waters remains vulnerable, and we have to continue our campaign and our work to try to protect it and make sure that what you're suggesting doesn't happen. So we're working closely with Congresswoman Betty McCollum in Washington, D.C. We have teams that go out to Washington to advocate for the boundary waters, regular people, volunteers from Minnesota, many of them from northern Minnesota, virtually every month, and we've been doing that for 10 years, going out there, telling our stories, why this is such a special place that should be protected, why copper nickel mining in the headwaters is a real and serious threat, what the science says about this, what public health impacts would be about it, what the Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts and Y campers say about it. You know, we are working hard to get legislation passed. And if that there is a single message from this call, I would say help us to everybody in Minnesota. Keep it up. We need to get legislation passed. So as you say, Matt, the next president, Donald Trump, comes back into power, doesn't try to wipe out the protections that we finally achieved just this past year with the Biden administration.
God forbid. Well, can I ask you a question? This might be a little off topic here, but kind of just, and I don't know if you know the nuances of this. The Voyageurs is a national park. Boundary Waters Canoe Area, for the most part, is not. It's a wilderness area. If for someone was to upgrade this into a national park status, would that be the end of it right there?
No.
No, we're not.
So wilderness is actually a higher status than parks. Wilderness is like a zoning overlay that goes over national parks, national forests, wildlife refuges, and BLM lands. And it takes it to a level where it is to remain untrammeled by men. So we have more protection. We have as much protection for this wilderness area itself as is possible under U.S. law. The Boundary Waters is also protected because it has this very special classification under the Clean Water Act that prohibits any water quality degradation in the Boundary Waters. Having said that, it doesn't protect the lands and waters immediately outside the wilderness, either under the Wilderness Act or under the Clean Water Act. And yet, what happens when you step outside the wilderness will impact what happens inside the wilderness when you're talking about a large industrial activity. And so that's why we have to really upgrade the headwaters of the Boundary Waters, make mining off limits in the entire headwaters of the Boundary Waters permanently.
Can I ask one question? And I don't want to upset you, because I'm going to propose something here, but I think I already know what the answer is going to be. So I'll just let me say this. Say we allowed mining to happen, but we put in airtight, ironclad rules that said no more LLCs, that Antofagasta or any international mining conglomerate that wanted to do this was responsible for any cleanup of the mess that they created, that there was no way that they could get out of it. Would any of them even offer to try to build a mine anymore, or would that be an admission, well, there's no way we can do this because we're not going to keep it clean, and it would cost us far more than we'd ever get out of the ground to, you know, clean up any mess we made. So would that pretty much end it right there, any kind of discussion about this in the future?
I don't think so, Matt. And no. The reason I say that is it misses the point of what of the risk and damage to the boundary waters. It's not that there can't be enough money to clean it up. It's that it can't be cleaned up.
Okay.
So we have a very unique water chemistry up here. It is extraordinarily vulnerable because it's low in base compounds and alkaline. And so when you put acid from acid mine drainage into the waters of the boundary waters, the pH drops quickly and aquatic life dies, aquatic life as we know it. The boundary waters is 24% water. So to say we want your deep pockets so you can fix it when you're all done doesn't really fix it when they're all done. It cannot be fixed. It's a very unusual place. Mm-hmm. And the only way to achieve our policy objective of keeping this as a pristine wilderness and keeping the water quality utterly clean is to say no to mining in the upstream waters, the watershed of the boundary waters. It really is the only scientific and policy answer to the problem.
And the perfect answer for that question, Becky. Thank you very much on that. Becky Rahm is the national chair for Save the Boundary Waters. If people, I mean, obviously, once again, the fight's, you know, not over. We want to preserve this. Want more people, and we clearly need to educate some more people, as I said. Well, no, I don't think this is how it works. So your message is still relevant, and making a donation to be parting of our organization is still very relevant. So, you know, if people would like to get more information about you, make a donation, become part of your group, how do they do that?
They should go to our website, savetheboundarywaters.org. We run a very large national campaign. More than 400 businesses, conservation groups, and hunting and fishing groups belong to our coalition. But we started the coalition, we run the coalition, and the home place for this big effort is savetheboundarywaters.org. So do get information from our website. Become a supporter of our organization. We have our big annual Boundary Waters Gala at the Nicollet Island Pavilion on Wednesday, September 20th. We're thanking the Forest Service for being such a great partner in protecting the Boundary Waters. So do think about coming to our gala. Oh. And you can find out information about the gala on our website.
SaveTheBoundaryWaters.org, SaveTheBoundaryWaters.org. I will post a link to it on all the social media sites later on. Becky Rahm, the National Chair for Save the Boundary Waters. Becky, congratulations on the win. A lot of hard work by you and your crew. Congratulations on that. And thank you very much for doing everything you're doing to save northern Minnesota.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate being on your program.
Always. Anytime you want to come back, by all means. Becky Rahm, Save the Boundary Waters. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Life decisions are not easy to make. Hi, I'm Mary T. of Mary T. Hospice Care. It's important to make sure that this difficult time is meaningful and comforting to you and your loved ones. Our hospice team provides an individualized program of physical, emotional, spiritual, and practical care so your loved one is comfortable and not in pain. At Mary T. Hospice, we understand that choosing the right hospice care provider can be overwhelming, but we're here to assist you. Learn more today at MaryTInc.com.
Hey, this is the Doc, Director of Clean at the Rug Doctor Institute of Clean, where we make deep cleaning your carpet easy and affordable. Let's go to the phones.
Hi, Doc. This is Sarah. I just got an estimate from a carpet cleaning service, and apparently it includes cleaning out my wallet.
Let me guess, their $99 special turned into $299?
Exactly.
That's bad math, Sarah, but I have good news. Here at the Rug Doctor Institute, we've packed all the technology and power that the professionals have in their van into one killer machine.
You mean the Rev lab doctor I've seen at the supermarket.
Yep. Just rent one of those bad boys next time you're getting groceries. You can deep clean all your carpets for a fraction of what it costs to hire the pros.
A fraction?
Starting at $29.99 a day.
That's good math.
Thanks for calling, Sarah. Rent a Rug Doctor today at your local supermarket and deep clean your home for less. Rug Doctor today for a cleaner tomorrow.
Tune in this Saturday morning right here on AM 950 for the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show from 7 to 8 a.m. We'll be discussing types of soil you have and how you may want to improve them, as well as limited mobility in gardening. Our guest is garden blogger Heather Blackmore, and we'll answer your garden questions. That's all this Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. right here on AM 950. Tell a friend and let's grow together.
I kind of set that question up for her at the end there because I wanted her basically to say, no, you can't. Because that's one of the things that I've heard people say as well. And as a matter of fact, and I'm going to tell you, when I first started learning about this whole issue, I kind of was of the mindset, well, if we force them to clean it up, would they even do it? And they probably would. And then they basically try to buy their way out of it after the fact. And so I kind of stopped that because that was the logical thing. That even if we did, they would sue us and probably the Supreme Court would overturn and say, well, you can't put that kind of legislation in there. Sorry, I know they polluted everything, but you got to clean it up yourself. You shouldn't have trusted them, that sort of thing. And so, you know, the reality is this. There is no option here. If you want the Boundary Waters to stay pristine, if you want Voyagers to stay pristine, if you want Quetico on the other side in Canada to stay clean, you can't have this mining there. You just can't have this mining there. And I mean, there is, what was the story? There's a story out in regards to the watering of crops out in western Minnesota, and this is a New York Times story. The drought has gripped Minnesota in the summer of 2021 when the worst on record, day after day, blazing sun shoveled down. Basically, the farmers had no other option. They cranked up their powerful irrigation wells, and they basically started going way over their water requirements for that time. By turning on the taps in the depths of the drought, Artie Offit and other farmers in the state, where thousands of wells irrigate potatoes and other water-intensive crops like corn, soybeans, and sugar beets, they blew through their limits designed to protect aquifers and supply drinking water to millions of people. They knowingly did this. The call is coming from inside the own house in this time. The farmers, including Offit, who is the largest one in the state, basically blasted through their water. They didn't care. It significantly worsened the drought effects, exposed how dependent much of the state has become on aquifers that are fragile and awfully poorly understood. In Minnesota, watershed started to dry out as the heavy irrigation in 2021 lowered aquifer levels. Trout streams warmed when huge wells siphoned away the cooler underground water that normally fed the streams. Scientists said threatening fish populations. And in parts of Minnesota, people reported backyard wells drying up, sometimes leaving kitchen faucets to cough and sputter as though they were gasping. Officials in Warren, Minnesota, partly surrounded by sugar beet farms, had to physically lower the pump in the town's well by 63 feet in order to keep providing drinking water to more than 1,500 residents, including those in a hospital and nursing home. One older woman outside of Warren said the only way she could get water after her own well went dry was to drive her riding mower to a neighbor's house to fill up water bottles. State officials wound up suspending 4 irrigation permits in the area. In Bacchus, Mike Tauber, whose forested land abuts potato fields affiliated with Offit, was shocked to find dried-up exposed banks along the pond so big he nicknamed it Super Pond. It was the northwestern part of the state. Members of the White Earth Nation worried the farmers' irrigation wells were draining culturally significant bodies of water. I understand farmers have got to make a living, too, but at the same time, they've got to take other human beings into consideration, said Trevor Milbert of Eagle Bend, who sometimes drove his pregnant wife and toddler to his parents' house for showers and for water. We're not talking some third world country. That's in Minnesota right now. So just remember this. There are a lot of people out there that they just do not care about you and will screw over the state of Minnesota if they can. Hour two up next.
Get ready for one of the coolest music events of the year. The 11th Powderhorn Porch Fest will showcase top-notch local artists spanning indie, rock, country, blues, and more on three porches that will transform into stages. Powderhorn Porch Fest is Saturday, September 16th from 4 to 10 p.m. along 17th Avenue between 32nd and 34th Streets. Featured are 13 talented artists and the electrifying Nerd D opening and closing the show. And it's not just about the tunes. Enjoy sweet and savory delights from food trucks and cool merch from local vendors. Don't miss the Reverie Cafe and Beer Garden, back for the third year, perfectly complementing the music and festivities. Hosted by the Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association and neighbors on 17th Avenue, this festival showcases strong cross-neighborhood partnerships. Powderhorn Porch Fest isn't just a music festival, it energizes our South Minneapolis community and supports local programs and services. Again, that's...
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always